everybody. I'm Aline Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. We are talking about rescuing that little workaholic in you and inside of me. And this is part two in our series. And in part one, which we posted last week, we talked about how we can become so weary as women because we really don't know how to take a rest. And I shared with you my own personal journey of how God is calling me to rest, to take a 60-day break from doing any teaching, and how much this is a challenge for me, and how I went out on a quest to dive into the Word to find out more about how to take real and true rest. Now, last week, we were in the book of Revelation in chapter 2, and we talked about three of the biggest energy stealers inside of your life. Number one was how activity can push out authentic intimacy. Number two, it is our self-reliance that keeps us depending on our own strength instead of God. And number three, it is those toxic relationships in your life that will eventually take their toll. And if you missed last week's podcast and want to listen to it again, we've got that link for you right there in the podcast description. Today, I want to continue on in that passage in Ephesians and talk to you about how to enter back into rest, because true rest is really pulling away, you know, building up that love relationship with God and restoring our soul His way. And so once you've hit that burnout, right? Oftentimes we might say, let me just veg out in front of the TV, or let me take a vacation. And we think that that will solve it. But really, there needs to be sort of an awakening and a returning back to God. And so we're going to be looking inside of that same passage that we looked at last week to talk about how we enter back into that rest. You know, the book of Hebrews says, make every effort to enter into the rest. And rest takes effort. And inside of this book of Ephesians, we see that the church of Ephesus, which in the book of Ephesians, initially, Paul was praising them for their love for God and for each other. But here we see in Revelation that they are being, that God is pointing out into their life that they don't love Him anymore or love each other. And we know that it is through our relationship with God that our love for others flows. And when that has grown cold in our life, and when we're not resting in His love, that we will become depleted, because you cannot pour out from an empty cup. I often give this illustration. It was given to me, and I just love it because it makes so much sense. Because seriously, agape love is not something that you and I can manufacture. We must receive it from our Maker and give it out to others. And so the illustration is the watering can principle. And if you've listened to any one of my podcasts, you've probably heard this before, but I love repeating it for my own benefit. And so I'm going to just share it with you again. And that is that you and I are merely watering cans, that we are vessels. And in and of ourselves, we don't have the ability to love to pour out to others. That first we have to, like a watering can has to connect to a faucet to be filled, to pour out, to nourish others, that you and I must do the same. That we cannot pour from an empty cup, and that we must connect with the Lord, receive His love so that we can pour out to others. And a big part of that is rest. If you look inside the Ten Commandments, we see that pattern. The first three commandments are all about loving God, worshiping God. Then the next commandment 4 is about that Sabbath rest, that place of receiving from God. And then the last commandments are about our relationship with others. And so we see that pattern. We see it played out in Scripture time and time again. Love God, receive His love for yourself so that you can give out to others. When Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so we see that pattern again, loving God, receiving His love, and then having what we need to love others. But as we talked about last week, that you and I can hit burnout, and that's when the joy fades. That's when our love for others fades, because those are really fruits of the Spirit. And so if we're not having those times where we're pulling away into the Lord and receiving from Him, we'll have nothing to give. And I actually, this past year, have become very busy with Treasured Ministries, and my activity increased drastically. We were working on so many projects, and these were projects that needed to get done. But what happened is that my boundaries with working began to just sort of be compromised a little bit here and there. And I found myself in this place of burnout, and God really reaching out to me and saying, you need to take a rest, and you need to really find out what true rest is. And what I've learned has really been beneficial. And I'm getting ready to take a 60-day break from teaching with Treasured Ministries. And we've got all the things in place. We've got our, you know, podcast material, so the podcast will continue. But that God is calling me to pull away. And honestly, this is going to be a very courageous step for me. I've never done anything like this before. But I know that just like in the Bible, when we see God calling for rest, there's a replenishment that can happen so that we can give out. In fact, God even says at the seventh year, He told the farmer, let the land rest. Why? So that the land could then be replenished to support the crops. And so as we rest, we are renewed to return out to do God's work. If you think about the Lord like an archer, and He has arrows in His quiver, and He pulls out the arrows and He releases His arrows, and then the arrows are retreated to be sharpened. And much it is for you and I, that there are times of doing, and then where we are doing as led by the Spirit, and then there are times where we pull back to pull into God's strength. And the Word says in Isaiah 30:15, it is in rest and repentance that is our salvation, and quietness and in trust. That is where our strength is. But this runs countercultural to our world and to what our calendars say. And sometimes we can find ourselves in that place like the Church of Ephesus did. You know, they, in the book of Ephesians, it describes this vibrant relationship that they had for God and each other. And then in this passage in Revelation, where they're being spoken to as a church, it says this: I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those that say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. And we talked about this last week, but here's the Lord. And He says, you know, I see all your hard work. And He says to you today, I see all the hard work that you've done as a mom. I've seen all the hard work that you've done at work, and I see all that. But what I most want to see is you. I want that relationship with you. And so our Lord pursues them because the most important thing in our life is that love relationship with the Lord. And so we want to look at today, if you're finding yourself in that place where you feel distant from God, or you're just so busy, but you're not fruitful, and you find yourself frustrated, perhaps it is that it's time for you to take a rest. So let's look and see what the Church of Ephesus is told and how we can apply that to our life. The very first thing that God says in that next verse, in verse 5, it says, look how far you have fallen. Look how far you have fallen. And you know, sometimes we can be running and running in good activity, or doing and doing, or trying, let's say this, we're trying so hard to fix a relationship or to rescue people. We're running and doing. And then God says, look. And sometimes what he shows us is surprising to us. In other words, here is the Church of Ephesus. They've been working hard. And it says they've patiently endured. So probably in their minds, they're thinking, you know, I'm doing all these good things for God. And oftentimes, especially if you've struggled with something called codependency, which I did for years, where you get your worth and value out of the good that you do. You can be doing good, doing good, doing good. And then when you are ready, when God says, I'm ready to point this out in your life, he pulls back the curtain and he says, look at how far you have fallen. And basically, they had fallen away from their love relationship with God. And so he says, look back and see. And the first thing that we need to do is that we need to take a look and see where we have fallen. And we need to take our eyes off of everybody else in our life and not blame people, but just when we're ready, when God is getting our attention, we need to look. And we need to ask God, you know, are there things on my calendar where I've had motives maybe that are impure? Is there a relationship, a toxic relationship that you're asking me to hit pause on? Perhaps it is. Is there an area in my life that I've been so self-sufficient in? And you're saying, look. We have to be ready to look, and look in that place of humility, look in our own life at what we need to change. And so it's this reevaluating, and God will show us things, and it's not easy to look, but we can have the courage to do that because we know that God loves us. So the first thing that we need to do is when we hear God calling us to him, we need to stop. And we need to look. We need to ask him to examine our heart. Lord, is there something inside of me? Is there a sin inside of my life that I need to revisit? Number two is this. We turn back to him. It says, turn back to me. Turn back to me. And so we have to, it's like our priorities have to shift again. We need to remember that it's our relationship with the Lord, that he says, come to me, all ye who are weary, and I will give you rest. And oftentimes, when we're in this place, the look, when God says, look how far you've fallen, there could be oftentimes an idol that's been erected inside of our life. And we just don't even see it because potentially the idol is a good thing. And maybe it is that we've poured ourselves into one of our children to such an extent that it's taken over the place of our love relationship with God, or perhaps it is a place of doing good works, or whatever it is. But we turn back to him and we just say, Lord, your word says that we need to seek you first, that we need to love you first. And so we make an effort to turn back to God, and that all that we're looking at, he's shown us the idols that never gave us rest, that continued to leave us in this place of thirst, and whatever it was, a relationship, that we turn back to God and we say, Lord, I'm going to come to you first. And so when you need comfort, you go to God first. That's the second thing. Turn back to Him. And then the third thing is to do the work that you did at first. It says this, turn back to me and do the works you did at first. Now, what's interesting about this is it doesn't spell out what those works were. But if we look at the first things that we do when we come into a relationship with the Lord, it really is resting in His promise of salvation. And so God is calling us to come back and to rest again, to enter into that rest with Him. And you may be saying, well, this sounds counterintuitive because it says do the work that rest require. Do the work and the work is rest. And here's what I want to say to you is that rest requires work. Rest requires work. It takes effort to rest. It's not just going to happen. It's not just going to happen. Now the rest that God is talking about here, the first thing is that you need a plan to rest. You need a plan to rest. Now, inside of the Bible, when you look at what God did among His chosen people, that He actually wove rest into the culture, that even if you look at a day, that there is light and there is dark. And so into the span of a day, God has a time for work and He has a time for rest. If you look at a week where He created the Sabbath day of rest, that inside of a week, there was a day designed for rest and 6 days designed for work. So inside of a week, inside of a year, He created feasts and celebrations. So there would be times to rest. It was planned out rest. And here's what I know, that, you know, when you're planning for rest, that there's work involved in that. In other words, that the Lord laid it upon my heart to take this 60 day away from teaching, that there was planning that was involved before then. There was, okay, we need to prepare these podcasts before so that I can take this time of rest. And so knowing, for example, that whatever day that you're saying is your day of Sabbath rest, I do Saturday, you know, Friday is that day of preparing for that time of rest. And I don't want you to get overwhelmed in this. Again, all this needs to be led by the Lord. And you can even start in one area of your life. It may be that the Lord is calling you to get to bed earlier so that you can wake up earlier and have that time with Him. Well, there's going to be planning that needs to happen to make that happen in your life. So the first thing is that we must do the work that rest requires, and that rest requires planning. The second thing is that it needs to be done on purpose. It needs to be a purposeful rest. Now, I can't lie to you. You know, I love grabbing a little handful of chocolate, like, you know, to just take a quick rest. You know what I mean? Or sometimes I love flopping in front of the TV and watching a movie. And there's nothing wrong with those things in and of itself, but it's not necessarily purposeful rest. And when you're talking about planning for a rest and having purposeful rest, I know some of you listening are saying, I've got little children, or I've got a busy work, you know, and I just can't stop and just do all these things. You know, the thing is that, and I'm going to get to this point in a minute, is that you can't afford not to, but that also sometimes we are thinking of rest in one particular way. And we need to kind of go outside of the box and not only plan for rest, but be purposeful in it. Let it be that rest that rejuvenates our soul. And in doing that, there are even little teeny things that you and I can do during the day that can aid to that. For example, you can take a rest from social media and not look at your phone for the first 6 hours of your day so that you can be productive. But here's the thing. And you may be saying, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know how. What do you mean by purposeful rest? We all agree, okay, that God wants us to rest. All right. So in my quest of what is this going to look like for me, and what, you know, because for 60 days, I'm not just going to like sit on the couch, right? How do you want me to rest? One of the resources that I came by was a book called Sacred Rest by Sandra Dalton Smith. Well, in our next podcast, she is going to be sharing that resource with us and about the different kinds of rest. And I'm telling you, this is one of the best teachings I've ever heard on rest. And so in our next podcast, I'm going to be going into a little more of the plan and the purpose of, you know, taking that purposeful rest. And I think that you're going to be blessed through that. And also, you know, if you're thinking, I can't take a rest right now, there's really a lot of practical steps that she is going to give and some invaluable insight. So that's going to be in our podcast next week. So you don't want to miss that. So the rest needs to be planned. It needs to be purposeful. And then the third thing is that you must protect it with boundaries. You must protect it with boundaries. Whew, boundaries. Now that is a hot topic for me because boundaries is something that I'm not so good at setting, but I've learned so much about it. And so you're going to need to be able to say no so that you can say yes to God. And you need to begin to value rest so much so that you can set those boundaries. Now, in the next podcast is going to be Sandra's podcast, but then I'm going to follow up with one last podcast about a very specific area with boundaries, and that is what is your responsibility and what is not your responsibility. And I think that as women, a lot of times, one of the reasons why we are weary is that we don't understand that there are some things really that are not our responsibility, like other people's happiness or changing people. And so I'm going to be going over that in the part four of our podcast. But what I want to encourage you inside of this podcast is that it absolutely will require boundaries that you must set. And boundaries are a good thing. I mean, when God created the earth and he created humans, one of the first things that he did was to set a boundary. He said, you can eat from this tree, but you can't eat from that tree. And so if our Lord sets boundaries with us, boundaries are not bad. Saying no is not bad. And still, I have those feelings of guilt sometimes. I mean, even in this week, I had to tell a group that I was leading that I was not going to be leading this group next year. And it was very hard for me to do. Very hard. And honestly, when I left, I had those feelings of, did I do the right thing? Da, da, da. But, you know, sometimes if we don't have those boundaries, we can miss out on the blessing. And so, you know, the Bible says that the sheep, that the Lord is our shepherd and the sheep know his voice and that he's leading us to that place of abundant life. And so you can trust God that if God is telling you to close down this activity and open up this whatever it is, that you can trust that. And God is loving. And so here's the thing. That person may push against your boundary and they may not see right in initially that it's a loving thing for them. But so many times, you know, God will tell me to say no to somebody. I say yes anyway. And then I see further down the road that that was not a benefit to them either. and that potentially I should have listened to God and just said no, because not only was that boundary beneficial for me, but in the long run, it was beneficial for them too. And my last point inside of today is this, is that if we hear God calling us to this place of rest, and if we don't, look how far we've fallen, turn back to Him, and do that work that rest requires, that our Creator will make us take that rest. Listen to the next verse. It says this, "If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches." And I'm telling you, and this is part of the reason why I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be proactive about taking rest this time, because there was another period of time in my life where I was working crazy hours and God told me to stop and I didn't listen, and God made the rest happen for me. And the circumstances were not pretty. And so here's the thing. When your Creator, the Lord Almighty, when He is calling for you to take a time of rest, we have a choice. We can either take the rest ourselves, or our Creator will make us take the rest, because in His great love for us, He knows that the most important thing in our life is our relationship with Him. And sometimes we can chase endlessly after other gods or get caught up in, and it can even be good stuff, like I've said, or toxic relationships. They take our toll on our life, or we're just operating in our own strength so that we've stopped spending time in prayer with Him. And so He'll stop that in our life and get our attention. And if we don't turn, then eventually what will happen is, for example, we get sick because we're so burnt out, or something tragic happens. And you know, we don't want that to happen, right? We don't want the ugly circumstances, and God doesn't want that either. And I'm not saying that He's one behind the circumstances, but I am saying that if you're listening today and you're a workaholic and the Lord is calling you to rest, that He means it. And it is for your good, and it's for the good of those around you, that you take that rest. You know, I always talk about the fact that the Bible says that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to us. Well, a gift is something that's given, but I still have to open it, right? And so sometimes I think as women that we don't feel like it's right for us to rest. And so we want other people to give us permission to rest. Like, we want our husbands to say, well, go and take this rest and whatever. And the thing is that you cannot wait for that. And you need to take the initiative to take care of yourself God's way and take a real rest. And I'm telling you, it is one of the most loving things that you can do for your family, for you to rest. It's the most loving thing that you can do for that organization that you've started, or whatever it may be, for you to take a rest in the Lord. You know, God loves us so much. And inside of this passage, we see how He pursued the church of Ephesians because He wanted a relationship with them. And that's what He wants with you. And that is that place of rest. So in our podcast, in our next week, don't miss it. It is wonderful. One of the best books I've ever read on rest. And I mean, it was one of those books where I kept highlighting and underlining. But we're going to be talking with Sandra Dalton Smith, so you don't want to miss that. And if you've missed our first podcast, the link is in the podcast description. And again, we just so enjoy bringing you this podcast every week. And one of the biggest ways that you can help Treasured Ministries is by subscribing to our podcast, rating our podcast, and sharing this podcast with others. So if you have 5 minutes, this is of no cost to you. I just pray that you will take a minute and subscribe to the podcast, review our podcast, write a review, and then send this podcast to somebody who you know needs to take a rest. Thanks so much for joining in today, and I will see you next week when we talk to Sandra Dalton-Smith. Bye-bye.